Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, I welcome you to another episode of our silsila Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. Just to recap from our last episode, we covered the prophetic birth, the blessed birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In fact, we were reminded of some of the events which took place around the world leading up to the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and how these miraculous actions that were taking place around the world, and especially near the time of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the term in Sharia used for a miraculous action that takes place before the announcement of prophethood, we mentioned it, such an action is referred to as irhas, as well as reminding viewers of the fact that miraculous actions, depending on the individual responsible for them, will be described with different terms in the Sharia, and we covered this briefly. Also, when we speak about Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we understand this action of celebration and commemoration of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his mention of his arrival in the essence of it being sunnah ilahiyya, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this theme in the Quran, the arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In fact, his qualities and how he is a mercy for all the world, and how his nature when it comes to believers, the attributes of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by Allah. We also quoted some verses of the Quran which highlight how we must publicize the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the expression of thanking Allah and expressing gratitude in terms of His grace and in terms of His mercy is described as being better than the wealth that is gathered. We also touched upon the fact that not every new thing in the religion is considered to be prohibited straight away. You consider the action itself, and we were reminded of a principle, a famous legal maxim in the Sharia, which is quoted by many of the fuqaha, that they say al-aslu fil ashya'i al-ibahatu, that in essence things are permissible, the default state is that they are permissible. So if we want to look at whether an action is prohibited in Sharia, we must look at what the Quran and Sunnah have said about that particular action. We also are reminded from examples in the Sharia that there are many things that are directly related to our deen which were not found at the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the reason why I say in the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is because the definition, the correct definition of bid'ah or innovation is that which did not take place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the correct understanding is, if it does not go against the beliefs of the religion, does not go against the sunnah, does not go against the deen, then it is good. And in fact, anyone who starts a good way, he will be rewarded for that, and those who follow that good way, he will also get their reward without the reward of those who are following being affected. Again, that is from hadith as well, Sahih tradition. So we are reminded when we look at this subject in greater detail that it's not a simple prohibition, that something was not found in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means it's prohibited. For we know that the way we travel, the way we pray, the way we perform our acts of worship, there is some element that is not found in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were reminded of the compilation of the Quran and how Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq refer to this as being a good action when Sayyiduna Zayd ibn Thabit questioned it, you know, that we're doing something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do. And also the action of Sayyiduna Umar is famous when he described the congregational Taraweeh prayer as being a good innovation. For those who have a problem understanding this concept of how every new thing is not prohibited straight away, how we must look at the action itself, if one was to ask such a person, what time is the Jumu'ah prayer at your local masjid, they'll probably say it's at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., 1:30, depending on where they are. And one can simply say, well, In the past, in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, appointing a time like that was not found. It's not established from the Sunnah. And obviously, the simple response would be, well, it's just to create ease for the believers, so they know the actual time to gather. But the point is that it was not done like that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't have timetables for the whole month or for the whole year. This is just one of many of the examples that are found, and some examples were given in our last episode. We also, one point to consider in this respect is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it clear, whatever Allah has made halal in his book is halal, and whatever he has made haram is haram, and that which he remains silent on is forgiven. So we look at actions based upon the principles of our religion, and these principles will enable us to decide whether an action is permissible or prohibited until the Day of Judgment, because our religion is complete in the sense that we have the principles to give us the guidance. Another situation which needs to be clarified maybe is the idea of khairul qurun, that an action taking place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the time of the Sahaba, or the time of those who came after the Sahaba, tabi'in, if it's an action that is found within their time, then it's okay, and if not, then it may be questionable. Again, this such a statement would not make sense, because the correct understanding, or one of the correct interpretations of the khayrul qurun, is that there is more khayr in those times, and as time goes on, the best of people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his time was the best time, and then the Sahaba after him, there was apparently more khayr compared to the time which came after. So this being better was in terms of there being more good in the time of a particular of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Sahaba, or the Tabi'een, and that is the understanding which is clarified by the noble ulama. following our routine, I would like to share with you a benefit of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, "He who sent blessings upon me expressed a supplication of blessing for me, or read Durood Sharif or Salawat upon me 100 times, then for him Allah will write between his eyes," in other words on his forehead, "that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, and on the Day of Judgment Allah will keep him with the martyrs. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad." Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, it was the custom during the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to send newly born children with women belonging to tribes residing in the rural areas of the region, so that the children would spend those delicate years, the very early years of their childhood, first 2 years or 3 years, in a more pure environment. Pure in the sense of a more spacious environment, an environment that also allowed them to hold on to and adopt the purity of the Arabic language. For as written in the books of Sirah, in the city areas with people coming and going, did have an impact on the nature of the language itself, and as far as the purity was concerned, or a well-being, general well-being and health is concerned, there was always more chance of disease and plague spreading in the busy city areas. So mothers, families would entrust their children to women who would come at certain intervals to the city areas to collect a child that they would take back with them and maybe spend 2 years or just more than 2 years. This was the case for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam too. And the purity of language was very important to the Arabs. In fact, if a person was eloquent and spoke the Arabic language well, and even better, if he was a poet, he had more honor and more acceptance socially. And following this custom from the Banu Sa'ad, some women traveled towards Makkatul Mukarrama soon after the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Amongst those women was a woman by the name of Halima. Compared to the other women who were traveling with her, she was probably the weakest at the time, the poorest. She was traveling with her husband and she had a child of her own. And describing her circumstances, she mentioned how they had with them a she-camel, but the she-camel did not have a single drop of milk. That's how weak the she-camel was. Also, describing her physical state, she mentioned how she was not able to provide for her very own son because of her condition. She was not able to feed him properly, and how her and her husband would spend the night playing with the child just to put him to sleep. The mule that she was riding on, it was so slow that it was delaying the rest of the caravan, and the women were complaining about it, were often complaining about the fact that she was lagging behind. When Halima finally reached Makkatul Mukarrama and reached the area where the other women were to choose a child to be taken back with them, she was not the best candidate. And as other families, as she looked towards the options that she had, she was not accepted by any family to be given a child. And there was our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It was known to the women that he is an orphan, and this did have an effect on whether they chose to take the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The women who traveled this distance to take a child with them considered the condition of the family that they are taking a child from. They would consider the social status, the financial status, the influential nature of a family when they expressed this willingness to provide their services. There our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lay, described as an orphan, and Halima was not taken by anyone else to as a foster mother. In the end, she decided that instead of going back empty-handed, she would go for this orphan child. And little did the women of the Banu Sa'ad know that the child that they overlooked due to being an orphan would bring blessings for the one who had chosen him. She took our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and as the narrations go, as soon as she brought him back to the area where she was camped in her tent, she says that as soon as I embraced him and put him against my body, I felt a change inside me. I was able to feed him, and not only was I able to feed him straight away, I was able to feed my own son. And then my husband went towards the she-camel and found that the udder of the she-camel was full of milk. So he milked the she-camel, and they both satisfied their hunger, and they drank to their fill. They, at that very moment, they recognized the fact that there was something special about the child they had accepted, the child that they had decided to take home with them. And they were seeing these blessings. It was the prophetic presence that was a means of blessings for them. And they began to enjoy this new phase of ease. As the caravan left, the mule that was lagging behind, that was the slowest, now was overtaking the others. And the women of the Banu Sa'ad were shocked. They actually asked her about, is this the same animal that you came with? And the Honorable Halima knew that it was the blessed child that she had taken that was the means and the reason for all this happening. She describes how when she went home, the area that she lived in was probably the most barren on the earth, as she describes it. How the she-goats would go for grazing in the past, and their udders would have no milk whatsoever. But as soon as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought into her home, the udders of the she-goats became full of milk. And this barakah was seen, was witnessed by the other people. They began to say to their shepherds, take the she-goats, or take your animals to where Halima's animals go to graze. For her animals, her she-goats are coming back. Their udders are full of milk. They're coming back in a better state. Maybe it's something to do with the area that they are grazing in. But it was almost a secret within the household, a secret known by the Honorable Halima herself and known by her husband, that it was our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam who was the reason for this ease in her life. After his period of being suckled, when he was weaned, it was time for him to be returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah, she reluctantly took our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. But she had grown accustomed to all the blessings and the ease that she was witnessing, and it was her desire to somehow hold on to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she mentioned this point to the Honorable Mother of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that look, there is a virus in the city, there's illness in the city, maybe this son of mine, it would be better for him to spend some more time in a more healthy environment. And she convinced Sayyida Amina to send our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back with Sayyida Halima to the rural area that she'd come from. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew a little older, he one day, as a young boy, he asked the Honorable Halima about, he said, where do my brother and sister go in the morning? And she replied that they go to with the animals, and then our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would join his foster brother when it came to taking the animals for their grazing. One day, the foster brother of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rushed home, and almost breathing heavily, catching up with his breathing in a state of shock, revealed to the Honorable Halima, my brother, he has been taken, or he was taken by three men dressed in white, and they lay him down on the ground and they split his chest open. On hearing these words, the Honorable Halima and her husband, both with their son, rushed towards the area that was mentioned. They found our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to be there in a state of concern, to a certain degree fear, and his face looked pale. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact, some narrations mention with a lot of affection, she approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and asked him about the experience that her son had described. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed, he mentioned that three men dressed in white, they came to him and they lay him on the ground and they split his chest open, and he said they took something out and then they closed my chest again, and he mentioned how he did not feel any pain. When the Honorable Halima, after her questioning, thought that maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been affected by some evil spirit, and maybe it's better for him to return to Makkatul Mukarrama to his honorable mother before anything else happens. So when she took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkatul Mukarrama, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha was surprised to see her return, for she had taken the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with so much passion, and she was so enthusiastic about it, and she was so happy to have the chance to take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to her home, and now she's back with him. And after some questioning, the Honorable Halima revealed what had happened, and Sayyida Amina simply said that she that her son, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not affected by any evil spirit or any such thing, and mentioned some elements related to his birth, and mentioned how special he is, and how his future, he will have a special future, and that she has absolutely no concern about him being affected by evil. Coming back to the point of shaqqus sadr, the splitting of the chest, it is mentioned by Mawlana Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlawi alayhi rahma, that this action of the chest of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being split took place on four occasions during the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first time it happened was the time he spent with the Honorable Halima, the account that we just mentioned. And this was remove all thoughts related to children that would affect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And then the second occasion that is mentioned by him is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was near the age of 10, and it happened for him to be to remove any concerns and fears from him regarding the next phase of his life of maturity. The third occasion was when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the cave of Hira, and that was in preparation for the receiving revelation. And the fourth occasion being the Isra Mi'raj, the night of ascension of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on that particular occasion, the shaqu sadr, the splitting of the chest, was to prepare the heart of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Delwi alayhi rahmah, he writes about some of the prophetic habits, some of the habits of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his childhood, some amazing things that were witnessed. And the Honorable Halima relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his cradle would be, he would be rocked by angels. She witnessed this. And also, during his years of infancy, when he would be lying there in his cradle, he would gesture with his finger, and the direction, wherever he would move his finger, the moon would move in the same direction in the sky. So this moment, this particular theme is described by the great Mujaddid Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, in one of his in his poetry, in a couplet where he says, Chand jhuk jata jidhar ungli uthate mahd mein, kya hi chalta tha isharon par khilona noor ka. So the moon was a toy for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would move his finger and the moon would follow his finger as he would, as he lay in the cradle. What is also mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when his first words, what were his first words? According to this particular narration, the first words that he uttered, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa Subhanallahi Bukratan wa Asila. He also did not show, he did not play the way other children play. In fact, at most what he would do, he would actually observe what other children were doing, but he would never be involved in their play fully. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, we were reminded of some of the memorable events in the during the years of infancy and early childhood of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Children are born in our families. Even before their birth, and especially after their birth, do we behave in a way that is appropriate in terms of the teachings of Islam? That we, the very first word we should try to teach a child is Allah, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered. We as Muslims, not only when they are born we give the azan and the iqama in their ears, and we go through all the guidance provided by the sunnah in terms of the hair being removed and aqiqah sacrifice being given and all these things. Also the attention we must give them in terms of creating an Islamic environment around them. This is essential. If a child grows up to see a mother praying at home, a daughter grows up to see the way her honorable mother lives according to Islam, this will surely have an impact on her. What we do at home around our children, the way we behave around our children, this has an impact on them. This affects them. We are shaping their lives and we are molding their characters by means of the environment that we provide for them at home. And Dawat-e-Islami, my dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Badri channel, is trying to help us to create an environment, a religious environment at home, whether We do this by watching Madani channel at home, or we have a dars of Faizani Sunnat or the literature available provided by Maktabatul Madina. And this, my dear brothers in Islam, will help us to establish an environment of piety within our homes. Dawat Islami has so many departments trying to aid us. As far as children are concerned, you may have heard of Darul Madina, which we have for the children who are reaching that age of nursery and preschool. When our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was 6 years old, he was accompanied, well, he was with Ayman or Baraka, as was her name, and his honorable mother, Sayyida Amina. He traveled to Madinatul Munawwara. What happened on their return? This is the next phase of our silsila. And this question will be answered in our next episode. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle.